Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, it comes every Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And we have a blog, Jim's Blog, which is also on the homepage or at jimsblog.biz. And that's the one that you can subscribe to. You can go and check it out every day that you want. It's a multimedia blog. It's got audio and narrative, but it also, you can subscribe by really simple syndication by clicking on that option there on the blog. Ladies and gentlemen, as you heard me say earlier in the hour, I think, and earlier in the day, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and three of the ladies in our brain trust have had breast cancer in the last few years, and I've asked them to join me today to talk about their experience and to hopefully be a voice for other women out there who maybe have had this in their lives or those who need to be checked and maybe who aren't getting checked. And we've got Joan Pride, who's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Hello.
Hello. It's good to have you back. And Paula Lovell, folks, also is with us. She's president of Lovell & Associates. She's a small business owner, and she's our good friend. Hi, Paula.
Good morning. It's great to be here again.
Say hi to Joan Pride.
Hi, Joan. Congratulations. Right off the bat, how many years?
It's been five years a couple of weeks ago. How about yourself?
A huge celebration for you. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And they're talking about the survival issue here, folks. And Paula, how long has it been for you? 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah, that's what
great.
I was thinking. Lois Geller is not with us right now, folks. We're working on that. Lois, ladies, is she told me about hers this earlier this year. She's just less than a year now, but she's in the middle of the hurricane right now, so we may not be able to get in touch with her. We're working on that.
We'll think of her and hope for the best.
She's a swell lady, and Joan, I think you've spoken with Lois, and Lois is just she's a force. She's a wonderful human being, one of the most positive forces that I've ever known. Joan, 5 years ago, almost exactly 5 years ago, you'd already been doing the show with me on a regular basis for a couple of years, and we called you to do the show.
That's right.
And you picked up the phone, and I could tell you were a little disheveled. I could tell you were upset about something, and I said, what's the matter? I mean, we were literally going to go on the air. Paula, Joan and I were going to go on the air in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I could tell that she was a little upset, and I said, what's wrong? And what did you tell me, Joan?
I said, Jim, I can't do the show. I just a few minutes before that had gotten the phone call that I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
I can't believe they did it by phone, by the way.
Well, I think they were trying to get to, it was kind of a botched diagnosis because it's a long story, but to make a long story short, there were a couple of different slides sent away, and one slide came back okay, and so I was told I was fine, but then the second set came back not okay a week later. So I was not expecting that. I mean, it's one thing if you have a lump taken out and you're waiting to hear, but to be told you're okay and then told you're not okay, it sort of threw me. And I think that was the only time I ever called Jim a few minutes before the show and said,
yeah,
I can't do the show.
Yeah, and I said, you know, you'll take care of yourself. And I did the show that day by myself. The audience was the big loser, Joan, because you weren't there with us.
But
you had a lumpectomy, right?
Right, I had a
lumpectomy. Tell folks what that is.
Well, a lumpectomy, and that's kind of a misnomer, they say, because they don't just take the lump out. They have to take out a bunch of tissue around it to make sure they get all the cancer in case any of it has seeped into the tissue. But the idea is that it's called breast conservation surgery because it keeps you from losing the breast. And in many cases, that's not possible, and a woman needs a mastectomy, but it isn't always true.
But what did you had to the point where before on the day that you and I, that you told me you just heard from the doctor, what had happened at that point?
Oh, I understand. I found a lump that seemed to come out of nowhere myself and went for a mammogram, which when it was read, it was read incorrectly, and the doctors thought it was a fluid-filled cyst. But in trying to aspirate it, they realized that they couldn't, which meant something more ominous.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a needle biopsy done, and then that brought on the diagnosis, which led to the surgery to remove it.
And so then you had the lumpectomy, which
yes.
is
but,
which
but
is much.
Usually, when you have that, you also have nodes, lymph nodes taken out to see if the cancer has spread into the lymph
right.
nodes, which I had.
Right.
And I had 19 nodes taken out, one of which was cancerous. And usually, when you have a positive node or two or more, you have to have chemo, which I did.
And chemotherapy, right. And we're going to talk about treatment. We're also going to talk about Paula Lovell's story. Right. She's going to talk to us about that. Two very special, very courageous breast cancer survivors, ladies. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're visiting with two ladies, Paula Lovell and Joan Pride. Joan is with the Kiplinger Editors, and you know her voice very well. She's with us every week to talk about what Kiplinger has to say, and she'll be with us later in the week again. Paula Lovell is another longtime member of our Brain Trust. She joins us less frequently, but her visits are no less special, and she's the president of Lovell & Associates, a small business owner herself. And Joan, you were just telling us, and both of these ladies, as I said earlier, folks, are breast cancer survivors. Joan, 5 years. Paula, 3 years. Joan, you were wrapping up telling us a little bit about your experience. You had how many chemotherapy?
I had chemotherapy stretched over 6 months. It was, I think, 8 treatments. I think the protocol's a little different now. They do a more intense dosage over a shorter period of time because they think that has a better success rate. It's changing rapidly. My type of treatment is probably a dinosaur compared to what they do now.
But you also had radiation, too, didn't you?
Right. Yes, I had both.
How many radiation treatments?
Because remember, chemo is for to try to catch any cancer cells that have escaped from the breast and are
right.
elsewhere in the body, and radiation is to catch anything that's still within the breast.
It's localized, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very, very, very laser-like. And
right.
and so now, Joan, you, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come back to how you handle that, but I want to get Paula in here.
I'd love to hear Paula's
Paula.
Story.
Tell us your story, please.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I turned, I discovered the cancer through a routine mammogram, and women should all have a mammogram after the age of 40 once a
right.
year. Now, when I turned 50, everybody said, well, you know, by the way, you're supposed to have a colonoscopy. So I am worried to take a colonoscopy, you know, have the whole colonoscopy, and worried to death because there's so much colon cancer in my family. I'm waiting, go have a routine mammogram the next day. I'm waiting for the results of the colonoscopy. I'm waiting. I'm nervous wrecked. They call and tell me, come back in. We got a problem with your mammogram.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what?
And you're expecting it to be a problem with the colonoscopy.
Yeah, and I'm expecting a colonoscopy. So now I'm waiting for the colonoscopy, of course. Now I'm worried to death about both of them.
Oh.
And but I went in. They did find that it was cancerous. And like Joan, they did a lumpectomy, took out the lump, and did a sentinel node biopsy, which is where they take out the one node to see, which is like in your armpit, by the way.
Yeah, it's like you're the first node your breast drains into, and they can find it by using radioactive dye.
Right, and it's so they did the sentinel node biopsy. So you do the lumpectomy, and that's one surgery. Then you come back for the other. And with me, I had all my treatment at Vanderbilt University, which is a wonderful place. And in fact, I was incredibly lucky. I had Dr. David Johnson, who is the international chairman of the Society for Oncologists and specializes in breast cancer. So, you know, I had this world-renowned guy working on me. It turns out I am a little bit odd because, well, we know I'm a little odd, don't we, Jim? But
I wasn't going to say that, Paula.
we knew that already. But,
you do it, Jim.
So they took the node out while I was under on the surgery table and immediately went and tested it to know whether they would have to take out the rest of the nodes. It did test positive for cancer. And so they went and they took out the rest, which was 7/8 of my lymph nodes. And can I tell you that the lumpectomy is nothing compared to the to the having the nodes taken out of your arm, because you can't raise your arm more than a few inches for weeks, and you have to have physical therapy and do all the stuff that you don't have to have with the lumpectomy. And so then I had a full, I also had the 8 weeks of chemo, the eight sessions of chemotherapy, Joan, and then, you know, then you go to radiation, which is a piece of cake compared to chemotherapy in my
That's right.
And you do that every day, 5 days a week for, I think it's 12 weeks.
Yeah, I did 5 days a week for 6.5 weeks, yeah.
I think, well, maybe my was 6.5 weeks, but it was. It sounds like a similar regimen, and it's like a second job. You know, you got to get up, you got to drive to the hospital, you got to go to the radiation, you got to go to work. It is a second job.
And I've known women, this is sad, but I've heard of women in rural areas who would have to drive, say, 2 to 3 hours to get radiation, who have a mastectomy because they just don't have access to radiation.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
It can be harder. But here's the thing, ladies. I know that and that was an ordeal, and I know it was tough, and I know it was something you had to go through. It wasn't something that you obviously wasn't a pleasant experience, but you're still here.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you're survivors.
Right. Yeah. And just for anyone who's been diagnosed who might be in the depths of depression right now, I know we both understand that. The day I got my diagnosis, I decided my life was ruined and it would never be the same again. And it probably won't ever be the same, but it certainly wasn't ruined. I've learned that over time, but it took a while to figure that out.
And in fact, great things happen. I mean,
Absolutely.
I wake up every day and I feel fantastic. And I feel like I'm just so glad that the world is here and I'm in it.
That's right.
And it's just a new perspective on life.
Well, it's an important perspective to have.
I'm so proud of you ladies for joining us today to talk about this. This is very important. And, you know, you were saying, Joan, that you felt like your life was over. And, you know, and you said something off the air a minute ago, Joan. You said breast cancer doesn't have to be a death sentence. And what I said was, and I'm going to repeat it again, the quickest way to get to a death sentence is ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true, and I was ignoring my lump. The reason I'm here probably is because my husband is a nag, and he pestered me to get something done about it.
Ray the nag.
And I said to myself, I was 39, I said, I'm too young to have breast cancer. Well, that's not true.
Yeah. That's a lot. I've heard that a lot, that, in fact, it's important for spouses to know that they play a very important role in not only the support system that you need, but in the diagnosis part, where
that's
they
really
used to nag you.
That's
like
true.
Women are good at nagging men about having prostate exams, but men generally think women can take care of themselves in that regard, and they don't. So
it's not a comfortable topic to talk about, even with your wives.
No, I guess.
Ladies, but we got to get over that. We got to get ladies. Please get tested. These ladies that are talking to you right now, I know they would say that 100%. Please get tested. When we come back, I want the ladies to tell. I want Joan and Paula to tell us about how their life continued while they were having this treatment, how they worked their jobs, how they ran their businesses, how all that happened. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I'm so happy.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And ladies and gentlemen, and I mean that, ladies and gentlemen, please, please, gentlemen, encourage your ladies to do regular exams on themselves. Encourage your ladies to get checked, to have regular checkups with a doctor. Encourage them to have mammograms. What is it? It's especially over 50.
Over
40, right?
Over 40, yeah.
Over 40, they should have an annual mammogram. What about under 40? Should any ladies under 40 do that? Joan, you did it, but you found something first, right?
Well, I was just having my first baseline, I guess. Maybe I was 40. I thought it was 39, but I might have been 40. I would think if you have a history of breast cancer in your family or if you've been found to have the breast cancer gene, there might be a different protocol for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Joan is a 5-year survivor of breast cancer, ladies and gentlemen. Paula is a 3-year survivor of breast cancer. A lady in my life, going back many years ago, is a 22-year breast cancer survivor. Ladies, it's not a death sentence. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. But certainly, if you get checked earlier, the earlier the better, right, Paula?
Oh, absolutely. And there's the thing that's tricky is that people don't understand how important the self-exam is. And, you know, they make cards to put in the shower and then going just you know, to a regular primary care for your annual physical will help too. But there, you know, you don't typically get a mammogram before the age of 40. But if you have any suspect anything, any thickness of breast tissue, you should go in and show a doctor.
That's right.
And ladies, I know both of you lost your hair during the treatment. And Paula, I didn't see you at that time, but Joan, I saw you, and you were beautiful in a wig.
Oh, thank you. Ugh, hated that wig.
No, yeah, but you look great. And what did Ray do? Ray the Nag, what did he do?
Ray the Nag shaved his head because he wanted to be bald when I was bald. And he stayed bald until I stopped being bald.
All the women in the audience are saying, aw.
Yeah.
Paula, what about your story?
I can add to that. My son, who had just gone off to college, and at first I didn't tell him because
I fussed at you about that.
I didn't tell him at first because he was going off to college. He was going to Missouri. We had lived 21 years together. His father had left right after he was born, so he, you know, we were really tight in our, so I didn't want to tell him. So finally I had to go up and tell him after a little bit of treatment, and he said, "I'm coming home. I'm not going to college." I said, "You are not coming home. I need you up here. I want you to stay up here." So about two treatments into the chemo, and I only cried twice, and I'll tell you the two times I cried, because, you know, it's important to let yourself cry once or twice and then get over it. Take care of yourself. But I went to pick him up at the airport, and it was freezing cold in Missouri, and he had all his bundled up and all these hats and everything, and here's this 20-year-old kid that gets off the airplane, gets in my car, and he jerks off his hat, and he's totally bald.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you know, it wasn't popular to do at school when it was freezing cold, and he said, "Look, Mom, do I look bad bald?" Beautiful.
That's fantastic.
And so now the awful thing was that his hair started growing back the very next day. Mine took a whole year.
Yeah.
But mine too. Hey, Jim, can I give a piece of advice to your listeners?
Please.
If you have a loved one or friend with breast cancer who's going to lose their hair, do not say to them, "Don't worry, it'll grow back." We know it will, but it's still horrible when
still
we
hurts,
have to go through it.
Yeah, it is horrible. It's so emotional, you know, and I don't know, I think especially for women, my grandmother used to say, hair is a woman's crowning glory. And, you know, here I was losing the crowning glory in the middle of being nauseated because of the treatment and being scared to death because I thought I was going to die. And the only time I cried was I woke up one morning and it hit me that I might not see my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And it just killed me.
But you got to go through all that, don't you?
You got to
get beyond it. Get it behind you.
You do.
Yeah, let yourself feel it and then move on because there's so many wonderful success stories.
Well, you got too much work to do to recover. Paula, 30 seconds. How did you hold your business together during all this time?
Well, it was a great lesson for me. There were times when I couldn't make it in, where I was just so sick, and I couldn't travel like I did before. And I said to my staff, "I need you. I have 10 incredible women who we're in the public relations business, marketing public relations, do a lot of crisis communication for very big businesses. And I put them on the road. I put them in charge. And for 6 to 8 weeks, they had to handle it themselves, and we didn't miss a beat."
Website.
It's a great lesson.
Give us your website, Paula.
It's Lovell.com. And the company is Lovell Communications. I know you always say Lovell and Associates, Jim. But it's Lovell.
Lovell Communications, Lovell.com. Paula, Joan, what about your? I got 30 seconds.
Kiplinger could not have been more kind to me. When I needed time off, they let me have it, and they were just, and people were just super supportive. I can't say enough about my company.
They were great. I know. I was keeping up with that. Paula, what's your last thoughts to the ladies out there?
I just remember, don't be afraid of the results. You should celebrate the technology and the science that lets us have these mammograms and go out.
Right. Joan?
If you're newly diagnosed, do whatever you can to find someone else who's had breast cancer. They're the best support you can have. Call me if you have to.
Like these ladies. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Joan. You guys are
my
heroes.
Joan.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula.
You're my heroes, ladies. I'll see you later. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, ladies. Please get checked. Please get checked. Please get checked. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.